Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5 tonight. Looking for my glasses. They're hanging right in front of me. Okay. Right? Then you'd really be in trouble. All right. So they've crossed the Jordan River, and we pick up in verse 1 of chapter 5. Now when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the seacoast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until we had crossed over, their hearts sank, and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, "Make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again." So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gilbeth Haraloth. Now this is why he did so. All those who came out of Egypt, all the men of military age, died in the desert on the way after leaving Egypt. All the people that came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the desert during the journey from Egypt had not. The Israelites had moved about in the desert 40 years until all the men who were of military age when they left Egypt had died, since they had not obeyed the Lord. For the Lord had sworn to them that they would not see the land that He had solemnly promised their fathers to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So He raised up their sons in their place. And they were the ones Joshua circumcised, and they were still uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. And after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in camp until they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. And on the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped that day after they ate this food from the land, and there was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate of the produce of Canaan. Father, I come to you and I ask, Lord, that you'll speak directly to our hearts tonight. Lord, I'm so grateful for your word. I'm so grateful, Lord, that we have it and that you speak to us through it. And that your Holy Spirit is here amongst us. And I just ask, Father, that you'll speak to us all in Jesus' name. Amen. Preparing for battle. Now, we know they crossed the Jordan last week. Well, it wasn't really last week, but we looked at it last week. But you understand what I'm saying. Okay. And as they did that, on the other side of the Jordan, they had consecrated themselves, the Scripture says, before they crossed. But now they are in, finally, the promised land. The land that was promised way back to Abraham. Way back. I mean, it was a long time before them. They'd lived in Egypt in slavery for 400 years. And so it's a long time coming for them. It was a long time for them thinking about it, and they made it even longer by not doing what they were supposed to 40 years before. But anyway, they were at the point, the Scripture says, that they were ready to renew the covenant with God. And they did that by, first of all, looking back at what God had done for them. I mean, you think about all the amazing things. He had delivered them from the bondage through many miracles. Remember all the plagues that came on Egypt? He led them through the harsh wilderness, not to mention the Red Sea. He fed them with manna and quail. He provided water from a rock. He led them with His presence, with the column of fire and the column of smoke, the cloud. He kept their clothes from wearing out, which, by the way, is a beautiful picture of His covering over us. They never wore out. Why? Because God was covering them. And He gave them the law to instruct them. All of these things they were looking back at because God had made a covenant with Abraham hundreds of years before this. And God was always fulfilling His part of the covenant. So then, after looking back, they started looking within. The Scripture says before they crossed the river, they did some soul searching, some consecration time. But this is what God was saying to them. Start with my law. The first step was circumcision for all the males that were young when they began their wandering in the wilderness after not entering the promised land. In other words, God was saying to them, begin to live in the covenant of God. You haven't been doing that. You've been wandering. You've been rebellious because you didn't do what you're supposed to. I want you to begin to live in the covenant of God. And for them, it was a picture of consecration, getting things right with Him. You see, if God's going to use us, He wants us to cut away anything that does not line up with His way. I mean, you think about that. Look at what Colossians chapter 3 says. Okay, it's just a little off to the side, isn't it? Weird. No, you're good. If you've got it, go for it. I'll look it up if you don't have it. Now think about what he's saying there. God wants to use us, but he's got to get rid of us, the us in us, right? And so for all of us, for them, before the coming Christ, us after the coming Christ, it's still by the same manner. We've got to cut away anything that does not line up with God. The men were the ones that were going to be leading out in battle. And so he focuses on them right here. And he says, you got to get right with the covenant. And so they did. By the way, God still wants men to lead. He hadn't gotten to a point where he goes, oh, you know, maybe that was a bad idea. No. God didn't have bad ideas. So they looked back. Realized what God had done for them. They were looking within another point of consecration in their own lives and then beginning to follow the law again. And then they started looking ahead. God wanted His people to prepare for victory. You know why? Because God gives His people victory. That's what God gives. If you live a defeated life, it's because you're not living in God's plan. To consecrate means to come clean with God and draw close to Him. You know, I think for many of us, we have a difficult time sometimes really coming clean. We come partially clean. You know, I remember reading a book many years ago, and there was this little statement in it that just continually hits me in the forehead many times when I'm studying God's Word, and it says this: I don't want all of God, I just want $2 worth. Just enough to get me through today. Because if I spend any more than that, then I'm not going to have any of me. And although we would never come out and really say that, that's kind of how we live sometimes. God, I want to give you part of myself. I want to be involved, but not committed. Right? Which we talked about Sunday. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Hey, it's back where it's supposed to be. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. In other words, Paul is saying, listen, I could do other stuff, and it wouldn't really be all that bad, but I don't want to be mastered by that stuff. I want to be mastered by the Master. I want to follow Him. I want to do what He wants me to do. I want His will and not my will. And for us to get to that point is a point of consecration, just like these folks. They had to decide, you know, we're tired. I mean, look what following our own track has led us to. 40 years in the wilderness, 40 years of wandering, 40 years of Bedouin lifestyle, 40 years of not having a home. And I'm sure they were tired of that. I mean, we've all been on camping trips. It's exciting the first 3 days. And then after that, you're going like, I'm ready to go home. Right? Right? Maybe not even 3 days, depending on what has happened while you're there. Camping it's great. Camping with your family is great because there's always going to be a problem and you always have to go through it together. Right? And it brings times of bonding because what will happen is the kids will hate it right then, but 6 years later they go, oh, you remember when we went over there and the thing broke down and then we had to walk into town? And, you know, it's just all kind of, anyway. That was a little side note. Okay. Anyway. Do what? No doubt about it. So renewing the covenant, renewing their course. Listen to me, folks. Look at what it says in verse 7 and 8. It says, so he raised up their sons in their place. The ones who did not do what they were supposed to do, God raised up their sons in their place. And they were the ones Joshua circumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. And after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in camp until they were healed. They were getting back on track. You know what? Sometimes we get off track, don't we? I mean, we think we're headed the right way, but it doesn't take long till we realize that's not exactly where I was supposed to be going. I remember one time I was so tired driving. You've been there, right? You've been driving all day and you're still not even halfway there. You know what I'm saying? We were driving from Houston to Denver. It's a long haul. Houston to anywhere in Texas is a long haul. And I remember we had just gotten outside of Abilene, Texas, and I saw this sign, El Paso, 575 miles. And I was going, I ain't going that way. I'm going through Amarillo. So we cut up heading towards Amarillo. And, I mean, this was back before GPS and all this other kind of stuff. You actually carried a map in your car, you know. Heading up towards Amarillo, right outside of Amarillo, I was going to take 287 up north. But I thought I would cut over a little bit and catch it on the north side of Amarillo. Well, I got on a road that the next sign I saw was Oklahoma City. And I'm going, oh, no, I don't want to go this way. You know, when you're really tired, you make really stupid mistakes. I tend to make them even when I'm not tired. But anyway, staying on track. We got to stay focused where we're supposed to be going. Many times God tests us to see if we will really follow Him. You see, this circumcision was a test of their faith. Did they really want to get back in the covenant? Did they really want to do what they were supposed to do? Did they really want to consecrate themselves and follow God's law and not their own? They did it in the midst of enemy territory. Now, had the enemy known that they were vulnerable at that point, they could have attacked. But they did not. In fact, the scripture says that God put the fear in their hearts. And they were not even going to come close to the Israelites because they knew that God would fight for them. Following His command in the midst of testing will always show our motivation. Think about it. If we do what we're supposed to do, even when we're being tested, it'll show why we're doing it. So they had to come to a point of really trusting in Him. They'd already seen Him come through. He'd already fed them we went through all the things that He had done for them. Now He's led them across a swollen river in flood stage on dry ground. And He's brought them to this place called Gilgal, which says the reproach is being rolled away. And He's saying to them, I want you to trust me. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, one of my favorite passages to hate. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. We don't like to go through trials. You know why? Because we don't do what it says. We don't let it complete its work. We get halfway through the trial and go, God, why are you letting me go through this? I'm tired of it. I ain't doing this no more. And you know what God says? You know what God says? Okay. You got to start over. I'm going to take you through it again. Take you through it again until you figure it out. Right? Yep. Yep. Right? Exactly right. I mean, He's got all the time in the world because He created it. Second Corinthians chapter 12. Three times Paul says, I pleaded to the Lord to take this thorn out of my flesh, take it away from me. But He said to me, hey, wait a minute. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. My power is made perfect when it's not about you. Think about what that's saying. Therefore, I'm going to boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. But look at what it says here, and I don't know if you see this or not, but look at that last statement. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Isn't that pretty? I love that. Oh, he shows himself in my weakness. When I get out of the way, God shows up. So they had to renew their course as well. Thirdly, this. They need to remember the correction. Look at what it says in verse 9. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. I've rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. In other words, the reproach of Egypt meant putting behind them the things they had learned in Egypt. You think about 400 years in a different society, in a different state of everything. They had lived in a pagan nation and they had been in a nation that served pagan gods. None of them had ever been alive when Israel had been really serving God. And so when they got to Mount Sinai, when they should have been serving God and worshiping Him, they made a golden calf to worship. Why? Because that was the influence that they had. Because they'd been in a nation for 400 years that bowed down to idols. Influenced by the 400 years in that sinful nation. And then they got to the place where they were supposed to cross into the promised land at Kadesh Barnea, and they refused to go in. They voted it down. God says, listen, I want you to release that. That's in the past. I'm making a correction right now in your life. I've brought you to this place. I've prepared it for you. I've given it to you. I've promised you that every place you set your foot will be yours. So you can't live in the past any longer. I think it's one of the places that people, they stumble the most, is when they keep living in the past. God wants us to release the past and realize the provision. It says here that then, on the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. For them, that was the beautiful picture. The first time since leaving Egypt, they celebrated the Passover, reminding them of the Passover lamb that was sacrificed for their sins. And on that day, they began to eat of the promised land. This land that they've been told was flowing with milk and honey, they got to have it. Just says to me, where God guides, He always provides. He provided manna in the wilderness and much food in the promised land. You want to live in the presence of God with His provision release the past and realize what He's giving you. God wants us to live in His provision. Not ours, not anybody else's. He wants us to live in the provision of the Passover Lamb, the one who gave everything for us so that we could have great food in the Promised Land. Amen? Father, thank You for the pictures again that You show us in Your Word. Lord, for being there for us, for being Your provider and helping us in every point of need.